Well, I invite your attention this morning to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. I want to read verse 8. And then I want to go to Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, and then look at some references in the Old Testament, and then we'll go to some places in Revelation, and then we'll see where the Scripture leads us. Galatians 3:8, and the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Well, what does it mean when the Scripture foreseeing? 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Let me see if I can find it here right quick. 2 Corinthians 3:6. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, or throughly furnished unto all good works. So the Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The Scripture's written by God, is of God breathed. So when he says over here in Galatians 3:8 that the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, simply means that God, knowing what he was going to do, which was to justify the heathen through faith. And further it says the Scripture seeing preached before, that is God preached before the gospel to Abraham. So our God is the first preacher. He preached to Adam and Eve immediately after the fall, and then he preached the gospel to Abraham. And he preached to Abraham through promise. Look at verse 18, Galatians 3:18. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. So God made promise to Abraham when he preached the gospel to him. And he said, in thee and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Turn back to Genesis 12:3. Genesis 12:3. I will bless them that bless thee. Now this is a promise that God made to Abraham. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So we see from the earliest times that God intended to bless all families of the earth, not just the Jewish nation. So God, when he first preached the gospel to Abraham, he preached that God would, the promise to Abraham was that he would justify his seed. So the promise was justification, and we know that's by the blood of Christ, and it was originally preached by God to Abraham here in 8:3. Now, turn on over to Genesis 18:18. Here's the promise again. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Look back at 17:7. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee. Now his covenant, God's covenant, is his promise. He gave it to Abraham by promise. Ephesians 2:12. You were strangers from the covenants of promise. So God's covenant is simply God's promise. And when God promises, it's unconditional. It's an unconditional covenant. You can't mess it up. You can only receive life from it if you are an inheritor of that covenant. Genesis 17:7. I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generations for an everlasting covenant. Now he's talking about, he says, look at there, he said his seed, not many, but one, but in their generations. So he's talking about both singular and plural. We'll find that worked out in the New Testament. To be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Now, turn over to Genesis. Genesis 22:18. And in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. So see, he's still talking singular and plural. In thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. 26:4. Genesis 26:4. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Now there he's talking about his seed and his seeds. 28:14. Genesis 28:14. And in thy seed, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now, look back at Galatians chapter 3 again at verse 16. And he says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Now, I know sometimes we get to feeling pretty bad about ourselves when we get our eyes off of Christ and get our eyes on ourselves and what we think and what we do and what we would do, and we get to feeling pretty bad. But it's not how we feel. It's what Christ is. Christ is always the same. He never changes. He's always perfect in holiness, perfect in righteousness. And there's never a time when believers are not in Christ. They're not in themselves. They're in Christ Jesus. So it doesn't matter how we feel, no matter how bad we feel and how bad Satan encourages us to feel about ourselves and how weak we are and unprofitable we are and all those things, that doesn't matter. What matters is what Christ is. And whatever he is, he's always that. And he's always that to us. Look at Revelation, and I want to come back here just in a minute. Look at Revelation 14:15. Revelation 14:15. Now here's a picture of believers. Where am I at? I'm in the book of Revelation. I'm chapter 14. Oh, it's 5. I'm sorry. Revelation 5. Revelation 14, 5. And in their mouth was found no guile. Now this is talking about those who were in Christ. For they are without fault before the throne of God. Is that you? It's not me and myself, but it's me in Christ. If I'm in Christ, I have no faults. But I'm perfectly holy in His holiness, and I'm perfectly righteous in His righteousness, and I have nowhere to glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Without fault. So, what do we have to worry about in the judgment if we're without fault? The law of God can search us from top to bottom, inside and out, and find no fault. I find no fault in them. All right. Let's go back to Galatians 3. Verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed, and that's Christ, were the promises made. He saith not to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Now look at verse 29. And if you be Christ, in other words, if you be believers, if you've come to Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Amen. So God has made the covenant children of God promise of everlasting life. Look at Acts 3. Acts chapter 3. Verse 24. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that followed after, and as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold these days. These days. Ye are the children of the prophets. They saw us. They saw us clothed in the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ, Isaiah 61:10. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, in thy seed shall all kindreds of the earth be blessed. Anyway. Now look at Matthew 1:1. Matthew 1:1. The book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now, John begins his gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He begins by showing us the deity, the eternality of our Lord Jesus Christ as God the Son. But Matthew looks back into the Old Testament and ties the two testaments together in that our Lord Jesus Christ is the seed of Abraham and the seed of David. So we've looked at some of the promises that were made to to Abraham, and that is the promise of an unalterable state of perfect justification before God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we're there. Believers are there. We have entered the kingdom of God. He hath translated. Look at Colossians chapter 1, where Brother Bill was there just a minute ago. verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Well, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all the rest. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That's not going to happen. It's already happened. We are in the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, being believers on his name. Now, so God made promise to Abraham of an unalterable state of justification, and in 1 Corinthians 1:30, he says this, but of him, that is, of God, are ye in Christ Jesus. In other words, it's God's purpose that we're believers. It's God's power that we are believers. Mm-hmm. It's God working in us to cause us to believe and love his gospel. Yeah. Of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Christ Jesus is our righteousness. He is our perfect holiness. We are redeemed by his blood. And it's past tense. We are redeemed. We're not being redeemed. We have been redeemed. And everyone that is and has been redeemed was redeemed at one time at Calvary. Actually and virtually, before the foundation of the world, according to the mind and will and purpose of God, which never is frustrated. So, the promises made to Abraham, look at Ephesians 2, or Hebrews 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 16, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. That's the entire election of grace. Yeah, all that. That's all the children of the covenant, the spiritual children of Abraham. Yeah. Galatians 3:7, and they that are of faith are the children of Abraham. Mm-hmm. All right, now, so he made promises to Abraham of free justification, of acceptance, in the Lord Jesus Christ. But he's the son of David as well. So David, or Abraham, was a very prominent Old Testament figure, and so was King David, and he made promises to David. So turn to 2 Samuel chapter 7. Now here, in this portion of scripture we'll read here, the promise is just a wee bit more obscure than it is in other places of the scripture, and we will turn to other places, but I wanted to show you this. 2 Samuel 7, and we'll begin reading verse 11. And since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, and also the Lord telleth thee that he will build thee an house. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom, and he shall build an house for my name. Now that's quite a house. Now he's looking in Solomon, he's looking at the temple at Jerusalem. But in Jesus Christ, he's looking at the church of the living God. He's looking at the house of God. And he shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom, not just till Solomon's dead, but forever. So he's looking well past Solomon to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. Now, looking at Solomon, you can easily see how that would be worked out naturally, how that would work. But in Christ Jesus, if he commit iniquity, Christ Jesus never committed iniquity, but his members did. We did. And we do. And we are the members of Christ. So spiritually, that's who he's speaking of. Verse 15, but my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away from before thee, and thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee, and thy throne shall be established forever. So there is the first promise to David and to his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now turn to Psalm 89. Psalm 89. Well, I should have had you to turn to 2 Samuel 23:5, and I'll turn there and read that. You won't have to turn to it. I'll just read it to us. 2 Samuel 23:5. The Lord said to Samuel, or David said, if I can get there. David said, although my house be not so with God. In other words, although my house not what it ought to be, although I'm a sinner, yet hath he made with me an everlasting covenant. That's that promise. God's promise. Ordered in all things and sure, for this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. Now, look at Psalm 89, and we'll read verses first four verses of the psalm. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David, my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations. Now the David that he's speaking of there is the Lord Jesus Christ, the greater son of David. And look at verse 19. Then spakest thou in vision to thy Holy One, and saidest, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. The Father upheld him in all his undertaking. Glorify thou me, that thy Son may glorify thee. Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment unto the Gentiles. Then thou spakest in vision to thy holy one, and saidst, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. Our Lord Jesus Christ is one of us, of the same humanity as we are. But he's also one with the Father. I and my Father are one. I have found David, my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. That's Christ Jesus. With whom my hand shall be established, and mine arm shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflicted him, and I will beat down his foes before his face, and plague them that plague him, that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. Now the Lord Jesus Christ personally had no mercy shown him. He spared not his own son, but delivered him up to the cross, to the Roman government, to the hatefulness of mankind. He delivered him up as the surety of his people to pay the debt that we owe. But all his seed who were in him from everlasting, they find mercy of God. 1 Corinthians 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. The spiritual body of Christ, the church, the mystical body of Christ. For by one Spirit are you all baptized into one body, whether you be Jews or Gentiles, whether you be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Romans 12:5. Romans 12:5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of another. All right, now back to Psalm 89, verse 24. But my faithfulness and my mercy will I keep for him and all his seed who are in him. We are one with the Lord Jesus Christ. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and the Father in me, I in you, and you in me. And in my name shall his horn be exalted, and I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers. Thou shalt cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my God, the rock of my salvation, and I will make him my firstborn higher than the kings of the earth. Which he is now. He is seated at the right hand of God right now. My mercy will I keep for him, not for him personally, but for all who are in him. Forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. The promise. His seed also will I make to endure forever. And his throne as the days of heaven. All who are in Christ shall endure forever. There's no question about that. people who blaspheme and say, well, it's questionable whether or not you will endure, for whosoever shall endure to the end be saved. Well, that's not a question. That's a mark of those who are in Christ. They endure come what may. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, which men do, because the thought of sin is sin, the lust for sin is sin, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him. See, they're one with Christ. Nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break. I'm not going to break my promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and to Christ and those who I gave him before the foundation of the world. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness, I will not lie unto David. Now, you can't get much more solid than that right there. God has determined to bless the children of the covenant in the Lord Jesus Christ, who himself is the covenant. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me, and it shall be established forever as the moon and as a faithful witness in the heavens. Romans 4:16. Therefore, it is of faith. And how do you come by faith? It's the gift of God. It is God working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is God puts faith in whom he will by the new birth. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed. The promise is absolute and sure, is ordered in all things and sure to all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, who wouldn't want that? Somebody's blind and deaf and dead spiritually. This world doesn't want it. But to those who are given spiritual sight, ears, and a heart to understand, he that hath shall be given, and he'll have more abundance. That the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law or the Jew, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now, this promise was made to Abraham that in him and his seed would all families of the earth be blessed. So let's look at Revelation 5:9 and see the fruition of that. And they sung a new song. Well, who's that? Well, that's the four beasts and the 24 elders and all the redeemed of all the earth. Revelation 5:9, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. All the families of the earth. Now turn back over to Revelation 14:4. Notice that these were taken out of every kindred and tongue and nation and people. Christ did not redeem all of mankind. He redeemed his elect out of every kindred and tongue and nation and people. In 14:4, Revelation 14:4, these are they which are not defiled with women. In other words, they haven't followed the harlot of Rome, or none of her sister harlots of false religion. These are they that are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they who follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, from among all families of the earth, promised to Abraham. From all the kindreds of the earth, promised Abraham. From all nations of the earth, promised Abraham. There's the fulfillment. Being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. So God was the first preacher. And Abraham was the first parishioner. All right, brother. Yeah.